Well, good morning. If Christmas is the most wonderful time of year, the week after Christmas, it's got to be the worst time of the year. It's like you're walking around the house putting things away. It's like you're mourning a good friend as you put the Christmas tree away and everything. And anyway, I got up this morning and kind of finished writing out my notes and all of that. And I went to print it out, and I'm pretty sure printers are of the devil.
Yes, sir.
Especially when you have a printer that you've never, like, synced to your computer. I don't know how you figure that out. I've never understood. And I'm pretty good with technology. But I tried to print it out, and I couldn't, so I sent it to my wife via the email. And then she printed it out. Well, when I sent it to my wife, it didn't save. So it's the old notes. It doesn't have all the new stuff in it. So who knows what's going to happen this morning. This is going to be an adventure for all of us. So this morning, I want to talk about heaviness and compare that to the opposite of heaviness, which is rest. And I'll get into what the type of heaviness I'm talking about. But this morning, I want you to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to look at the end of Matthew 11. When preacher asked me to talk, I started thinking about what I was going to say. And throughout Scripture and my devotions, I kept coming back to my favorite passage in Scripture. Things kept bringing me back. And this is my favorite, I guess this would be my life three verses. And the reason of my life verses is a long time ago, I remember a pastor preaching, and he talked about how his mother, on her life verses were these, and she put these on her tombstone. And I really started thinking about these verses, and I realized how I'd memorized them at a very young age. And it's one of those things where when you memorize verses at a young age and then you just know them all your whole life, they just kind of come to mind really quickly. You don't think about the power of it. And I remember that, I don't remember where I was, if I was in a chapel message or where, but the power for the first time of these three verses really hit me. And you know, have you ever had a time in your life where you've had a scripture where you've heard it all the time, all of a sudden it just, the full weight and the power of it really just hits you and the Lord really speaks to you? That's what kind of happened to me. And over the years, this has meant more and more to me. But we're going to be looking at Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, and I pray that you would give me this morning the words to speak, and I pray that you would work through me and work through my frail and my stammering ways, Lord, and that you would allow the things that I say to be a blessing to others, that they would speak to somebody in here, and that they'd be a help, a blessing, and that people could walk out of here today using the things that have been preached. And I thank you for being a good God and for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, like I said, I'm going to be preaching on heaviness today. Of course, in the beginning of this verse, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." Well, that's all of us. And I think there's many different types of heaviness. We all experience heaviness in different ways. The weightiness of things, you know, somebody dies. We have some sort of tragedy, some sort of life-altering event in our life, and it can be heavy. There's many different types of heaviness. One of them may be the trials that come in life, the outside things that happen to us. So like I just mentioned, somebody dying, a hard family tragedy, somebody else sinning against you. They're very hard. And today when I'm talking, you know, these passages may not be for something that you're immediately going through, but maybe to help somebody else. In my job as a police officer, I deal with heaviness on a daily basis. You know, I see people at their very worst. I can think of a few weeks ago when I had a lady. I picked a lady up, and she was in crisis, and I was going to take her to the hospital to talk to a psychiatrist. And she started just talking to me, just telling me her life story. And you meet people all the time, and she started sharing with me the things that she had gone through. And she had gotten pregnant at a very young age, and her son thought that she was her brother, because the family told him that this isn't your sister, this isn't your mom, this is your sister, because they wanted him growing up thinking that her parents were his actual parents. And so she was really struggling with that, and she was kind of going through crisis in that, and she was just feeling the weight of the heaviness of sin and life choices. And you know, this can, like I said, we all have heavy burdens. We all have things that are burdening us, problems in life, things that are happening to us. And the God says, come unto me. Amen. All. And it's not just some of us. It's not just a couple of people that God chose, that he chose just these people, but everybody. He said, all, come unto me, everyone that's laboring heavy laden. And in this passage, it could be referring to the Lord's also preaching to. You have to think about who he's saying this to. He's saying this to the Jews. And what are they heavy laden with? Well, they're heavy laden with the law. And in this time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all these different groups were putting very strict guidelines on the Jews as to this is what you can do, this is what you can't do. I mean, you know, nowadays we've kind of gone to the opposite end of the spectrum where it's not about, you know, you have to do these things. It's you can do anything you want, you know. But this is the opposite end of the spectrum. Back then, you had to abide by very strict guidelines or you were judged. I mean, you were ridiculed. You were cast out if you didn't obey these very specific things. Like, you know, you can only walk so many steps outside your yard on the Lord's Day. You can't, you know, do anything worth of work and all these very strict guidelines. They were very labored and very heavy laden with the laws and the things of life in that manner. But I think the most applicable heaviness that this scripture is referring to, and the most helpful for us today specifically, would be sin. I think sin is the weightiest thing that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. We each are heavy laden with different sins. There's people in this room that struggle with every type of sin out there, and there's people out here that are struggling with depression, with selfishness, with pride, with lusts, with bitterness, with all sorts of different. And I don't know what it is that you're struggling with, but every single person in this room is a sinner to some degree. I mean, we're all disgusting, terrible, awful sinners, you know, and I think a lot of times we come to church and we all get together and we're like, you know, we're all pretty good, or I'm the only really terrible person. Like, I could only be the terrible person that has this type of sin and that struggles in this specific way. Well, actually, it turns out if you're struggling in something and you think it's the worst thing in the world and you can't, you know, you think you've got this special need, I bet there's somebody else in this church that's struggling with the exact same thing and has gone through the exact same thing you are. And we all have this sin, this weightiness of it. James 1:15 says, and when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Sin is the ultimate weight on our life. It's the ultimate struggle. It's the ultimate problem. It kills. It destroys. It destroys everything in our life. It destroys all of the good. It destroys marriages. It destroys friendships. It destroys work life. It destroys everything. And I think the one person in Scripture that has experienced every type of sin and still was a friend of God was David. And he wrote many psalms concerning sin and the heaviness of it. And Psalm 38 is a great example of this. He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thy arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore and broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Here, David is so overwhelmed with his sin. He's so overwhelmed with the transgressions of his life. He says, I am so, in verse 4, he says, my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. Our sin is too heavy for us. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, or whatever it is that besetting sin that you have, or whatever your burden is, it's too heavy for you. It's far, far, far too heavy for you. And the only one that can actually do anything about it is the Lord. And he says, come unto me. And he says, I know that you have heavy burdens. I know that you labor and are heavy laden. But he doesn't just know it. He says, I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. We have these sins. We have all these problems. And God says, I got you. Take it to me. I will give you rest. But he doesn't just, you know, at church we come and, you know, preachers will preach against this sin. They say, don't do this, or don't sin in this way, or you need to, you know, go to the Lord for rest. It's not just a commandment, do this. You know, when somebody tells you to do something, you know, go do this. Well, how? You know, how will you give me rest, Lord? You know, that question is next in my mind. Well, okay, so I have all these sins, I have all these problems, I have all these heavy burdens. How are you going to give me rest? You know, maybe you have a heavy burden today of something that's happened to you or something that's happening to you. And well, that's nice to know that the Lord will give me rest, but you kind of like to know how. You know, it's not just some mystical thing out there, this rest that's just going to magically happen. You know, how is he going to give you rest? What do I need to do? What is the next step? Well, he goes on to talk about how to get rest in this verse, in this next verse. So let's read it. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So take my yoke upon you. I think we all know what a yoke is. It's not just an egg. The yoke is the wooden beams that would go over two oxen to keep them together and guide them in a certain way. So that picture there is putting the yoke of Christ onto your life and letting him guide you. So let me read the whole verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Meek and lowly in heart. God is strength under control. That's meekness. God is strength under control. He is gentle and kind. His yoke, it isn't the hard yoke of sin that leads to death. It isn't the hard yoke of sin that destroys everything in life. It is the yoke that guides you into perfect peace and guides you to heaven and guides you to perfect peace. It's the kind of yoke of a father, the gentleness and the kindness, the loving kindness of a father that wants what's best for his child and wants to guide his child in the paths of eternity and in what is best. That's the kind of yoke that this is. And it's taking these yoke upon me and learning of me. It's taking that yoke as an idea of following the Lord's commands. Because when a yoke is placed upon you, it's a guidance. But we have a book here of guidance. Many, 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 many commandments in this. This is the yoke. This is how you take the yoke upon you, is taking upon the commandments and what God has told us to do. And God's given us many commandments in life. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, we're just going to read verse 1 for now. It says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now, we're not going to get into what the rest means in Hebrews 4. I started getting into reading commentaries on this, and there's all sorts of craziness on it. And I started getting into what the rest means. But this whole passage, it goes on about types of rest and for we which have believed do enter his rest. And he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if you shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. It starts getting into rest, and it starts basically what breaks down to is what chapter 4 is talking about is not falling short of the promises that God's given us. In verse 1, it says, let us therefore fear lest any promise being left of us entering into his rest. It's a warning to us to follow Christ's commandments and the things that he has told us so that we will obtain his promises and we will enter into that rest, the rest of his kingdom, the rest of heaven, the rest that God has promised to those that love him and that he has promised to give those that obey his commandments. It's not falling short. It's saying, hey, you as a Christian, follow after these promises so that you will enter into that rest. You will have the peace that he has given to you, that he is promising to give to you to claim those promises. So don't come short of that. It's a warning. Don't come short of that. But how? How do we not come short of that? Well, down in verse 12, we're going to look at one of the most powerful verses in Scripture, in my opinion. One of the most powerful verses in Scripture. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Well, that's a really good place to start, is a scripture. I mean, this is what we need for following the Lord's commandments, is scripture. To follow his commandments, we need to be convicted on a daily basis. Our hearts need to be pricked on a daily basis from the word of God, because it is the power of God. Scripture is what divides asunder the soul and spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It looks at the very nature of who we are, and it decides whether it's good or not. David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The word of God cuts deep into our lives. You know, as a surgeon, we'll go in and start surgically removing something bad, you know, a tumor or whatever like that. Same concept, that's what scripture does to our life. It goes into our lives, it cuts down into what is the ultimate wrong, that deepest, darkest sin, and it hits it and it starts cutting it out, because it's what is pure. That's what the word of the Lord does. And so that verse, that power of the word of the Lord changing our lives. That's what we need. That's following his commandments. Now let's look at, so that was one of the most powerful verses in scripture. Now the next verse is one of the scariest verses in scripture. It says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." What if I walked up to you today and I said, "Preacher, I know what you did." Did anybody walk up to you in your life, your mom, or just somebody, they walked up to you and they said, "I know what you did"? Or they said, "Hey, come here, I need to talk to you." And they took you like into a room and you're like, what's going on? They said, "I know what you did." What if I walked up to you today and I looked you in the eye and I said, "I know what you did"? What would be that one thing you do not want me to know? That one thing, because you all have one. Some of you have a lot. I have a lot. If somebody looked at you and said, "I know what you did," what would it be that you wouldn't want them to know about? I love doing that to people. I love looking at, "I know what you did, put your hands behind your back, you're going to jail." But what if somebody walked up to you and said, "I know what you did"? What is it that you would not want them to know about? If the next sentence were X, Y, or Z, your heart would stop. You get that feeling in the pit of your stomach. They know. God knows. Everything is naked and open to him. Let's read that verse again. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Everything. That's a scary thought. It's a really scary thought. He knows everything that you have done. But it's not just a scary thought. Let's go to Psalm 139. It says, "O Lord," verse 1, Psalm 139, says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sittings and mine uprisings. Thou understands my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." I love this verse. "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." David found comfort in God knowing everything. He found comfort in knowing that God was there. And you have burdens, heavy laden, sin burdens, heavy laden with sin. And do you ever just, you know, you ever have something you have and you just want to talk to somebody about, and you go and you have that one person you feel like you can share everything with? God knows everything, and that can be a comfort.
Yes, sir.
Because he knows everything, and he can help you with everything. And he knows your innermost thoughts. He knows you better than you know yourself, and he's a great physician. You know, I take people go in crisis, mental crisis, and they have all these mental health needs, which the majority of them, they just have sin problems, and they need this ultimate surgeon, the ultimate brain surgeon, the Lord, to go in and fix them. Because they have a sin problem that has just corrupted their brain and is rotting it. God is that ultimate brain surgeon. He's the ultimate psychiatrist.
Yes.
He can go in and he can take somebody who's wicked, messed up, and terrible,
yes, sir,
which is all of you,
mm-hmm,
and me, and completely change us.
Yes,
and David knew that. He knew, you see everything. You know me better than I know myself, and you know what's best for me. And in this verse that we just read back in Hebrews chapter 4, I'm going to try and flip back there quickly. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows it all. So we just read this one of the scariest passages, but it also can be the most comforting passages in Scripture. Now we're going to read one of the most wonderful and comforting passages of Scripture. Seeing that we have, in verse 14 it says, seeing that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now verse 15, you got to think about for a second. It's saying Christ isn't, he's not a high priest, some high person up on a mountain that just doesn't care, can't be touched, doesn't feel what we're feeling. That's not what he is. No, Christ came to earth and he lived on this earth and was tempted in every single temptation. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Christ was tempted in all of these ways. He knows. He understands what you're going through. He knows. He was tempted always like as we are, yet without sin. He was, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So what he's saying is, in verse 16, then we go on to the enabling portion, which is, let us come forth, therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in a time in need. Christ says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Call out to me, come to me, and find grace to help in time of need. So we have these problems, these sin problems that we are burdened with. So first we have the scripture that cuts deep into it and starts scraping out that sin as we grow and as we study and as we read the word. And then we have a savior that knows. He knows what we're going through. And then we have him that just, he doesn't just know, but he cares. And he understands what you're going through. And he wants to give grace to help in a time of need. And we all have times of need. We face them every single day. Let's look at a portion in Scripture where Christ tried to help. The Lord tried to help his people in Jeremiah chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. Somewhere in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 6, and let's look at verse 16. Here, the Lord is speaking through Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, to his people. And of course, his people never listened to him in Jeremiah. They never listened to him. And this is another portion where he's talking about the tribe of Benjamin. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, but ye shall find rest for your soul. So the Lord says, look for the old path, the old commandments, you know, the Pentateuch, the commandments that I've shown you, look for those ways and walk therein. You know, he's talking to Benjamites, and they were extremely troubled in these days. They had huge troubles. We're talking about slavery, people coming in, and all these problems. And he said, look for the old ways. Seek after me. Follow my commandments. You know, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you will find rest for your souls. And then this is so sad, but they said, we will not walk therein. That's a choice. Also, and then verse 17 is, also I have set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil unto this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my word, nor to my law, but rejected it. He gave them the chance. He said, follow after me, I'll give you rest. He was going to give them everything. And they said, we won't do it. We won't do it. You know, this isn't something that is forced upon you, you know, having rest. And it seems like it's too easy to look at the choice between the burden of sin in this world and the burden, yoke of Christ, and to choose sin. You know, because, oh, we have to follow all these things. There's so many things I have to do as a Christian. But it's so much lighter. And at the end, we're going to kind of skip ahead. At the end, it says, my burden is light. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you take off that heavy, heavy burden of sin and you put on that light weight of Christ, so much better. All worry, all depression, all anxiety is removed. When you're trusting and relying completely on Christ, and you're allowing his word to work in your life, and you're allowing him to control you, and you're following and you're seeking after him, and he is your one and only thought and desire, life is so much easier. Yes. You know, we look at, you know, people who are persecuted, you know, over in China or in history or whenever, and we say, wow, how could they be persecuted? How can they be burning at the stake and smiling? You know, how is that even possible? It's because they've taken all their burdens away. They don't have any burdens. You know, I'm being burned. Oh, good. I get to go see my Lord and Savior. Right. You know, like they are following after the Lord. Their heart is yearning for the Lord. They're under his yoke. And, you know, now in society, we have it so easy, you know, as Christians here in America, we have it so easy. And, you know, we have so many things and so many other things to distract us from the yoke of Christ and that want to push us towards the world. And that makes us so sad, and that takes away the joy, and that takes away our reliance on him. But I'm getting off track now. So we talked about how we need to take his yoke upon us and follow his commandments, and how following his commandments can be done through the scripture, how it's quick and powerful, and then how he's the ultimate high priest who can take care of us, and how he enables us. And then he also tells us to learn of him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Psalm 119. Jump over to Psalm 119. Learning of God. How do we learn of God? Well, the scripture. Going back to the scripture again. We'll just read a couple of verses in Psalm 119 because you could really flip open to any portion of Psalm 119 and it's going to be talking about the Word of God. Let's just look, just look down. This is verse 33. Let's read verse 33 through 40. How do you say that in the Hebrew, preacher? He, the H-E? Hey. Okay. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep the law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken me to thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. David was yearning after the Lord. And I love the example of David, because if you took David and you made him like a preacher now, well, first off, he wouldn't be a preacher anymore because of all the sins he'd committed. That wouldn't be happening. But I mean, think about that. Like, there's people who are like, oh, he's done what? David killed people. I mean, murdered people. He would be in jail. David had multiple adulterous affairs. He had thousands and thousands of his people killed. You know, I mean, he was a rough guy, but he was a friend of God. He followed after the Lord. he had a lot of heaviness in his life, a lot of things that happened to him, and a lot of sin that he brought upon himself. But he loved the Lord, and he followed after the Lord's word, and he delighted in the Lord. And now we have this great example of a man who, through all of his sin, because it's not about David. David's life isn't about David. It's about a sinful person that was horrible and wicked that God used and God took and redeemed, and he loved the Lord. That's the picture. That's the picture of God's love, of him loving someone so much like David that he was able to redeem his life from destruction. And David then in turn loved the Lord, loved his precepts, loved his word, and he walked with God. He was a friend of God because of that. So learning of me, David learned of the Lord. David was continually, what's the verse where he says that I love, they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, and he was happy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, talking about learning of me. Let's look at verse 15 and 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Scripture is profitable. Know the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. We need to learn of the Lord. That is how we take his yoke upon. We learn of the Lord. We take his yoke upon us by following his commandments, because he's and we don't do it out of some like, oh, we have to do this. Well, you know, he's a loving father. He is meek and he's lonely of heart. He is strength under control. He's a gentle father. And if we do that, we will find rest unto our souls. Let's look at Psalm 116. You don't have to turn there. I'll flip over there. You might beat me there if you start turning now. Psalm 116, verses 1 through 7. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Taking the Lord's yoke upon you is going to be the most wonderful thing that you ever do, because you will find perfect peace, perfect rest, and your life will count for something. Because it's not a hard thing. It's not something that you have to, I have to do this. And it's not always the easiest, but taking the Lord's yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's the comparing is to what will happen if you take the Lord's yoke upon you and you continually just follow after sin and you follow after the yoke of sin. There's a comparison there, and it's so much lighter and so much easier to take the Lord's yoke upon you and to follow after him, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. We're all burdened. We all have problems. We have sin problems. That's our number one problem. We also have problems that are happening to us. What are you going to do? Are you going to continually rely on you and yourself? Because that's relying on sin. That's relying on the yoke of the world. Or are you going to say, you know what? I'm going to take these burdens. I'm going to throw them off. I'm going to take on the yoke of the Lord, and I'm going to follow after him. Because his burden is easy, and his burden is light. And it's going to be the best decision that you make. So I hope that helps you this week.